Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I appreciate your time, and I am praying that what is said here comes as an encouragement to you. Today we will finish our 8-part discussion on the 16th verse of Genesis chapter 3. All of these broadcasts double as free podcasts from the God Is website, so you can listen to these again or pass them along to a friend. Right in the center of the home page, you will find each podcast, and you can subscribe to the podcast and have it downloaded directly to your mobile device for easy listening anytime. Just visit godisministry.org today. As you well know by now, Genesis 3:16 reads, "To the woman God said, 'I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.'" That last part is our final focus. He will rule over you. As we have said, this rule is the result of sin. The kind of rule that has been described is not God's original design for married women. In the beginning, before sin and by God's design, the woman was created to be a help to the man. And the man and the woman were joined together as one. Adam loves Eve, and Eve loves Adam, and together they are going to enjoy one another and God and live forever in the Lord's presence. There is no mention there of the husband ruling over the wife. Please understand that. There is no mention in Genesis 2, before sin, of the husband ruling over the wife. This issue of rulership comes up after sin destroys life in the perfection of the garden in Eden. This is what sin does. It taints every human relationship, and we see that in what changes between husband and wife right away after sin in Genesis 3. However, when we read the New Testament, what we repeatedly find is that God, through Jesus Christ, has redeemed the relationship of wives and husbands. Jesus has lifted the burden for wives whose husbands selfishly and harshly rule over them. So our goal has been to go to those texts that highlight God's commands for how husbands are to treat their wives. How is the sinful corruption of rule transformed into a self-sacrificing love because of the redemptive work of Christ in husbands and wives? Our approach has been to have a laser-sharp intensity on what God says. What we have found is that God and His Son Jesus have raised women, not just married women, but all women. God has raised women to the proper place where you were created and designed to be from the very beginning, before Eve and Adam sinned. It is amazing. When Christ is not honored in a marriage, husbands rule over wives, and wives rule over their husbands, and sin rules over them both. But in a marriage where Jesus rules, Christ is restoring that marriage to what it was in Genesis 2 before the wretched sin of Genesis 3. The Lord redeems husband and wife and makes their relationship one that is God-honoring. Christ makes all the difference. I will say something more about this at the end of our time, but what we want to do today is to look at the third and final New Testament text that teaches husbands how to love their wives, rather than to rule them with an iron fist, with a kind of dictatorial and controlling attitude. Thus far, we have read Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, and Colossians 3, 18 through 21, and now we come to 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. As has been our practice, I will read all of verses 1 through 7 for context, but then we will focus on the Lord's instruction to husbands in verse 7. This is God's word to us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now, it may be tempting for some of you to think, I am not so sure. The first part of this passage seems to indicate that husbands ruling wives is God's design for marriage. You read statements like, wives, be submissive to your husbands, and being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You read these as husbands ruling over their wives, but that is not so. I will prove that to you in a moment from verse 7. However, let me insert two thoughts here. First, I already told you earlier this week that yes, wives are to submit to their husbands. That is very biblical. We had that in Ephesians and Colossians, and again here in 1 Peter. Paul writes this, and so does Peter. And we could well take up a whole series on what Scripture means by wives submitting to their husbands and by the husband being the head of the wife, this sort of truth. You may really, really want me to do that now, but I am resisting. Not because this is not important, but because it just does not fit Genesis 3:16. With limited time, I am always praying for discernment to know what to teach when. Second, although Scripture teaches wives to submit to their husbands, and that the husband is the head of the wife and the head of the household, that is different than the rule of Genesis 3:16. Male headship does not mean rule. Let's see what male headship does mean, as Peter defines this in verse 7. How should husbands treat their wives? Men, you think of yourself as the head? Really? Do you treat your wife like verse 7 says? Women, you desire that your husband lead you and your children. Really? Well, then does he treat you like verse 7 says? 1 Peter 3:7 again, you husbands in the same way live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Let me share with you a few insights. First, notice Peter says, you husbands in the same way. He means you also submit. Husbands submit to their wives in this sense. Submit yourself to meet her every need. Subordinate your needs to hers. Prioritize meeting your wife's needs. Listen, over meeting your own needs. That does not sound like rule to me. Peter was married and he had learned from Christ how to submit himself to Mrs. Peter, to take good care of her. Second, Peter speaks of something we do not hear much about anymore. It is called chivalry. That is how men are to treat women. He is not saying that your wife is weaker than you spiritually. She may be, but that is not his point. The "as with someone weaker, she is a woman" speaks of protecting and providing for your wife. A husband who rules is more likely to sit his lazy butt on the couch than to get up early every morning go out and work at his job for a full day, then to come home and to actively see how he can continue to provide in other ways, such as with the children, to truly share parenting. The Christian husband is not standing there, hands on hip, shouting out orders. No, he is moving around the home there, providing. He is protecting his wife and children from harm. This is a busy servant, after all. Third, gentlemen, we show our wives honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Whoa, this is huge. The grace of life is marriage. What is marriage? It is the grace of life. How about that? I do not hear too many people describing marriage that way, but we should. And our wives are not to be ruled, they are to be honored as an heir of the grace of life. Marriage is the most beautiful and precious of all human relationships. The man and woman heirs together to the grace of life. Fourth and briefly, treat your wife this way, lest your prayers be hindered. While that refers specifically to prayers for wives who are not yet Christians, how we behave towards our wives does impact our prayer life. What is the bottom line to all of these texts? Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, and 1 Peter 3. It is this: how essential Christian marriage is. Single people, marry a man or a woman who is a maturing Christian. Your future mate will never be perfect, but is he or she growing in Christ? Do not marry someone who is not a Christian. Do not even settle for someone who is Christian in name only. Watch and wait for the maturing believer. Those of you already married, make Christ the Lord of your home. Christ redeems marriages. Join me tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.